he's not going to be too afraid of you when you walk out there in your diaper holding the gun the wrong way. All right, so we have to deal with the foundation. So Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and this is what he's doing. He's saying, okay, listen, we have an enemy that we're fighting, and this is not some little enemy. He's the ruler, principality of darkness, the Bible says, and he's the ruler of darkness. I won't get to it tonight, but all of these different names that the Bible gives Satan as he flows through it. And he mentions in these particular scriptures about the wiles of the devil, which means the trickery of the devil. The word actually means movement. And so it's not just trickery, but the word is describing that we are aware of the movement of how he operates and how he moves and how he does things. Well, you can only become aware of that if you become a student of the Word of God and you study how your greatest example handled the devil, and that is Jesus Christ himself. That's what you need to study. Every one of us ought to make it a point to ourselves. You want to go in a spiritual war? You ought to make it a point to yourself to go to every scripture in the Word of God where Jesus Christ had anything at all to do with demonic spirits in any form of fashion. And we ought to be studying that because he is our commander in chief. He is the one that leads and guides us and instructs us and shows us how to go into spiritual warfare. And you're not going to see him wrestling on the ground with one. No, he's not. Power, the word means vigor. Let's continue on power of his might. That word means forceful. Everybody say forceful. So this very first verse, what is Paul saying? He's saying here in Ephesians chapter 6 and 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be intoxicated in God. The first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to get into spiritual warfare is you're going to have to learn how to pray until you are intoxicated with the power of God. He's going to have to consume your mind, consume your spirit. You're going to get to the place where you walk in the spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh anymore, because God is every thought upon your mind. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in his physical power and in his authority, and do it in his might and not in your might. And then he continues on and he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the trickery of the devil is what the word of God there says. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And that's what that word might means. Be strong in the power of his might. God wants his church to become violent in the spirit realm. He wants us to get up in the spirit realm and begin to war in the spirit against the principalities and against the powers of the air. How? Why? Because the violent take it by force. Look what he says in the same chapter, verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can you enter unto a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? But you and I, we just want to, we bypass this process. We want to just kind of go into prayer and just get up and believe that God has set this one free and set that one free. The Lord says, no, you got to get in the house. And you got to bind the strong man if you're going to spoil his goods. That means you got to learn how to break in. You got to learn how to penetrate. You got to learn how to get past the defenses. And you can only do that in the Holy Ghost. Remember what we've already taught. You don't have to worry about your mind. He cannot get in it. You don't have to worry about your heart. He cannot get in it. Get in there and bind him in the power of the Holy Ghost. We want them to be set free, but we don't want to go through the process of binding the strong man. He said, you got to break in and you got to bind that strong man. And then you can spoil his goods. And then you can reach in and get your kids or your marriage or whatever it may be. So how do we bind the strong man? We're going to save that for another night. Just keep that in the back of your head. So we need to stop talking about the devil binding us. And we need to start talking about binding the devil. Your lips, listen, as a man speaketh, I cannot tell you how important your words are. And I am not talking about positive speaking. I'm talking about biblical speaking. There's a difference. You can't just talk your way into something. But you can Bible talk your way into anything if you get in that book. And we have got to change our vocabulary. There are some of us in this building, you've lived for God for 20 years. But the only thing you've ever done is praise the devil. 50, 60, 70% of your conversation every day is either about another brother or sister in a negative way. Or it's about the bad things that have happened to you. Or everything bad going on in the world. Well, honey, you ain't going to fix the world. Why don't you try just fixing one soul? And it might help if you start with yours. We got to change our thinking. We got to change the way we speak. We have got to start walking around talking positive. Listen, that old saying, if you don't have something good to say, shut up. That's how we say in Louisiana. I think here they're polite and they say, don't say anything at all. No, no, you don't have nothing good to say, shut up. But let's just change that a little bit. You don't have nothing good to say, well, just don't say nothing about that. But why don't you just walk around and just saying, God is good. He's good to me today. He's good to me today. God is a miracle God. God is a powerful God. God is a delivering God. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. God is a forgiving God. You start talking like that throughout your day, and when a situation shows up, there's going to be so much faith and power built up inside of you that you're going to see that situation, and your first instinct might have been before to talk negative about it or say something, but instead you're so full, you're what? You're so intoxicated with God that when you see it, you step right in there, you bind that strong man, and with power and authority in the name of Jesus, you spoil the goods. But we can't do that till we change how we talk. You change how you talk, you'll change how you think. So as a man thinketh, so is he. And the Bible tells us that when you open your mouth and you begin to speak negatively about everything, that's going to be the results that you are going to receive. Paul the Apostle tells us in this great word to put on the helmet of salvation. I don't want to jump way ahead. But, you know, we think, well, that's to protect our mind. No. Your mind's already protected. Put on the helmet of salvation means get the knowledge of God in your head. Get the knowledge of salvation inside of you. Get the understanding of what God can do. And if we will get that revelation, there will not be a sinner on the street that we think to ourselves that God cannot deliver. There will not be a demon that we will not be able to cast off or cast out. My God, have mercy. We're talking about spiritual warfare, but the problem is we're not ready for spiritual warfare. Our thinking's too negative. Our words are too negative. Our deeds, our actions, too negative. I hate this thing. I'm sorry. I strongly dislike this thing up here. I'm going to tape it down or something. drill it to the head so it won't move. Okay. All right. Joel saw me earlier, and he saw this thing. He said, "You're going to use that?" I said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get used to it." He said, "Oh," he said, "but the mic gives you so much power." He said, "When you hold the mic, it's like you got a club." I don't know. I don't think it works with spiritual warfare. Okay. So what does Paul the Apostle say? He says, put on what? The whole armor of God. Now, and I'm going to have to close with this. I'm dealing with the foundation of even being able to enter into spiritual warfare. Most of us walk around very poorly dressed in the spirit. We are very poorly dressed. Our helmets all cockeyed. That's a Louisiana word, I'm sorry. Our helmets all crooked. Our shields, half our shield, our blessed breastplate of righteousness is halfway shifted, kind of hanging loose. Because the thing that holds all this together is the loins of truth. That belt that you first have to wrap around your midsection, and some of them, it's actually attached to a netting that's over the chest, over the thighs of the legs, and that belt is what holds that in place, and then everything else attaches to that, and so the breastplate of righteousness attaches to that. All of the armor and the leg armor and everything that you're going to have. Nothing for the back, because there's no running in God's kingdom. All of that attaches to what? It attaches to the loins of truth. He said, put on the whole armor of God. But you cannot put on the whole armor of God until you understand truth. Truth is what holds everything else together. And most of us, the only truth we know is what we've heard. We've never studied it out for ourselves. We never really got it deep down on the inside of our heart because we dug it out of the Word for ourselves. Friend, when you get into the Word of God and you dig out this truth and you study the Scripture and you find out that when Pastor says that you're to be baptized in Jesus' name, it's the only biblical way. You got to study that out. You got to know in the Word of God that that is true. When he talks about talking in tongues, when you get the Holy Ghost, you got to know that's in the Word of God and that it's true. When he talks about coming out from among them and be you separate, touch not the unclean thing, the Bible says, and God will receive you unto himself. You got to know that that is true. Let in the Word of God renew our mind in him and wash our thinking and wash our heart and wrap that belt tight, that belt of truth around you. You want to go to spiritual war and you don't even comprehend truth. And not just the basic truth of doctrine, but the truth about him, about his true holiness and his true glory and his true power and his true forgiveness and his true love. How do you know I don't know these things? Because you haven't let his holiness saturate your life. Because you have not learned to forgive yourself. And if you ever get a revelation of his forgiveness, you won't have a problem about forgiving others. To put on the whole armor of God, to be fully suited. Now, I want to show you something. Paul the Apostle, he says in the book of Ephesians here, put on the whole armor of God. I want you to look at that. Now, when we read those verses, we see, well, We still think in our own mind, we're thinking, well, he means go over and get the helmet, but you know, it's my helmet. Go over and get the breastplate, but it's my breastplate of righteousness. It's my helmet of salvation. I shod my feet with my shoes of the preparation of the gospel. I gird my loins with my belt of truth. No, Paul means exactly what he says here. The armor of God. Somebody say it's God's armor. You're not, listen, you get this revelation and you can walk into any situation because you're not wearing your breastplate of righteousness. It's not about your righteousness. It's about his righteousness. It's his breastplate. It's like when Saul tried to put his armor on David, it didn't fit. But God's armor will fit you perfectly. It'll fit you better than anything you could ever put on yourself or you could ever own yourself. It's not your helmet. It's not your breastplate. It's not your shield of faith. It's not your shoes. It's God's armor that you're putting on. And when you walk into that situation, there's a reason why the fiery darts cannot penetrate, because it's the shield of righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is the breastplate of righteousness of Jesus Christ and the shield of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the devil hath nothing in me. Isaiah 59:16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Look at verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, garments of vengeance for his clothing, and with a clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds, according as he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. When I walk against the devil, when I go on that battlefield, I want to be like little David. I want to say, Goliath, it's not me coming. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you with the breastplate of Jesus Christ. I come to you with the shield of faith of my Lord. Repay with fury his adversaries, recompense his enemies to the islands. He will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. It is not your name. It is not your righteousness. It is not how much you pray and all of these things. And I don't mean belittle that. We know we got to do all of that if this is going to work. But it's not about how well you've done things. It's about him. I'm coming in his name. I'm coming in his righteousness. I'm coming in his power, and I'm coming in his authority, not mine. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. From the west and his glory, from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Compare that to 1 Thessalonians 5:5. You are the children of light. You are the children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Romans 13:12, the night is forspent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 6 and 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the hand and on the right hand and on the left hand. When Paul the apostle said, put on the whole armor of God, that's just what he meant. Devil, I'm not coming to you with my own power and my own ability and my own tools and my own righteousness. I am putting on the helmet of salvation. Jesus Christ, he knew he was coming into this world of unrighteousness. He was coming into flesh that could be tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in every like manner as you and I, but he never failed. He never sinned. Why? He had on the helmet of salvation. And when the devil came against him and used the word of God against him, he said, wait a minute, devil, you're not going to fool me. I got on the knowledge of God. I got on the helmet of salvation. And he quoted back the word of God to him, and through the power of knowledge, he drove the enemy out of his life. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Even, and I got to close, even Jesus knew he had to have the helmet of salvation. Even he knew he needed the breastplate of righteousness. His feet were shod with the preparation of this powerful gospel. And Paul the apostle said, you're going to go into spiritual warfare, because remember, that's what he's talking about. We haven't got there yet, but that's what he's talking about. Going up against an enemy of power of darkness and principalities and power and rulers of the air and all of these things. He said, if you're going to do that, you better get saturated in God. You better be saturated in God. If you're going to do that, you better go in the authority of his name and the power of his might, which means to be vigorous and forceful. The violent take it by force. And you better put on the whole armor. God's armor. Because your armor is not going to work. But you put on God's armor, and you can face the devil on your worst day. Jesus hadn't eaten or drank in 40 days. Listen, we're griping by 3 o'clock on the first day. 40 days, no food. 40 days, no water. Don't try that. Because I will be preaching your funeral on day 11. Because that's when your body will die with no water. Day 11. And now if the God calls you on that, then maybe he'll permeate your skin with the moisture in the air or something. But I got a fan in the back, a fan's up front. And Paul said, you put on the whole armor of God. Now listen, folks, I'm just being honest with us. We hadn't even got spiritual warfare yet. And we got a lot of fixing to do. I'm not even sure we can get through any of these levels. Saturated with God. Walking in the authority and the power of his might and his name. With vigor, changing our thinking, our speech, everything about us changing. And then putting on the whole armor of God, putting on the understanding of the word of God. You only have one weapon. Everything else about the armor of God is defensive. The helmet, the shield, the breastplate, the shield, the loins, the these things down here, and all of the army, the feet with the pretty brass or gold shoes, preparation of the gospel, it's all to protect you. the feet with the gospel to protect you no matter where you go, that you will not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Helmet of salvation gives you wisdom and understanding so the confusion cannot come. The breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith keeps you from yielding to temptation, the loins of truth. We've only got one weapon. One weapon. I'm talking to my Wednesday night crowd. We've got one weapon. One weapon. Let me get closer. One weapon. And that's the Word of God. One weapon. The only time your mouth is powerful is when God's Word's coming out of it. God's Word's coming out of it. Listen, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to go against a little theology, but you can study the Word of God. You can study it. Go look for it. Go look for it yourself. Prayer was not designed to be a weapon. Prayer was designed for you. Prayer is your communication with God. Your weapon is His Word. And we get down on our knees and don't, this is all good. I hope you know that. And we'll travail and cry and scream. And we'll get up and want to figure out why God didn't fix it. Because what you were doing was between you and Him, at least part of it, when you gave Him a moment to get in there, say a little something to you. Prayer is about relationship. It's about you getting to know God and Him getting to know you. It's about you confessing and Him forgiving. You touching Him and Him touching you. It's relationship. The Word is your weapon. Now you can use the Word in prayer, and then it will be a weapon in prayer. But you're going to have to learn the Word if you're going to use the Word. And you're going to have to use the Word appropriately. When you study the Word of God, you will find out that the only time that prayer is used as a weapon is when the Word of God is involved. Every other time, it's just me and Him. It is relationship. It's me bearing my soul and my burden to Him. God, save my children. Redeem my kids. Keep my kids. But I'm going to tell you, if I want to see real results from that, I'm going to have to step out of the prayer room and speak the Word of God to the spirit world. And cover my kids with the blood through the Word of God. It's the only weapon that you have. Let's stand. And so, sweetie, stay with me. I'm going to get to spiritual warfare. But we got to get all this other stuff down. Because the Lord dealt with Pastor. And He let me know over these last few months that these aren't just going to be entertaining messages. I'm not going to let you preach like that. We're not going to talk about spiritual warfare in a way that it can come in one ear and go out the other and everybody feels okay for a little while. No, 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 no. We got to get this in the old gizzard up here. Noggin. Gizzard. I don't think we have gizzards. If we do, mine's swollen. And the Lord wants us to get a hold of this. He wants us to change our lives. And it don't happen in one message, and it don't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes time for you. I'm going to tell you how you do it. You pick some little tiny small thing in your life. Don't make it hard. Make it easy. Some small thing in your life that you know you can give up. And just give it up. And you chip away at your carnality like that. Just a little at a time. You know, we get convicted, fall on our face in the altar, repent of everything, and we tell ourselves, our heart, our mind, our spirit, and we confess to God for 287th time. And we give up everything in one moment. And we walk right out them doors, and you know as well as I do, within a few days, you're right back to doing 80 to 90% of everything you told God you would not do. Because we are creatures of habit. It is our nature. One little chip at a time, change your life. In a year from today, it will blow your mind where you are in God. I tell you, one of the things we're going to try to do, you know, on in April, when we have our no media for 30 days, fasting for 30 days, no media for 30 days, and 24-hour prayer. So if you haven't signed, if you haven't signed the 24-hour prayer, dearly, it's in the, is it there, Sister Corinthian? Is it out tonight, the prayer thing? Sister Kyle's over that. You need the key? It's out there? Okay. I think she got it. You got it out? Okay, it's out, sister. So there's a chart out there. Pick an hour or pick 30 minutes. And if you can find six people, pick 10 minutes. And y'all all sign the same slot. Each take 10 minutes. But get your name on the board for prayer. And listen, I'm gonna come with the plan. I'm going to have it in the bulletin. On the week before we start this. On how to read through the Bible in 1 month. Now you say, well, that's a lot of reading. Yes, it is. But remember, no media. So you don't try to eat it all at one time, but you do pieces through the day when normally you'd have took 30 minutes to look at your Facebook and say hi to all your friends. Not going there. You spend that time reading. And then the other 30 minutes that you would have done some crocheted. Baby, let me preach. Thank you. Whatever you do for entertainment, you put that aside and you use that same time to read. And I promise you, you can read the Bible in 1 month. Because we waste 5 hours every day we live. We waste it. Some of y'all spend 4 hours daydreaming. Just kind of. All right. Another thing, and we're done. Another thing is that month, I'm going to encourage all, my Wednesday night crowd especially, but we're going to encourage Sunday. On that month, to get up in the morning and join that prayer line. Let's come together as a church for those 30 days. And pray. Don't worry about whether you like anything or don't like anything or I can't pray. Just call the number. Amen. Pray through. Call the number. Get on that line and pray with your brothers and sisters. And let's tear the kingdom of Satan down and let's lift up the kingdom of God. Amen. Lord. take this word tonight and put it in our hearts and our minds and our spirits, and help us to digest the word of God. Lord, let us meditate on it. Let us think about it, God. Don't, Lord Jesus, don't let it just roll out of our spirit, Father, but let it open up and take root in our heart, in our spirit, Father. Oh, God, work with us. God, we got to get this foundation down. If we're going to go to spiritual war, we got to get this foundation down. Help us, Lord. It's my prayer. Speak to us, God. Oh, Jesus, we need you. God, talk to us. Talk to us. Talk to us. Talk to us. Hallelujah. We need the help of the Lord. We need the help of the Lord. We need the help of the Lord. Help us to put on your armor, God. Not our armor. It's your armor. We go to war wearing your armor. Your name is on that rock. Woo, it's your sling. It's your shield. It's your helmet. Hallelujah. It's your breastplate of righteousness, God. We just love you. Help us, Father, in your mighty name. Help us, help us, help us. We love you. We glorify you. Turn us into warriors, God. Amen. What's your weapon? It's the only one you got. I suggest you learn it. I love you. You're the greatest people in the world. God bless you. You're dismissed. Man, greet one another. Be kind to one another. Pay one another's bills. I'm just seeing if you're listening. Speak well of one another. I love you.